Welcome to Moment in Ministry, hosted by Pastor Steve Dameron.
Hello again, this is Pastor Steve Dameron for A Moment in Ministry, and today we have Pastor Jonathan Smith. He pastors in Traverse City, Michigan. I'm going to have him introduce himself and kind of give just a short synopsis of his testimony. And so go ahead and take it.
All right. I'm Jonathan Smith. I grew up in Traverse City, Michigan. I was the son of a pastor, grew up in a pastor's home then, so made a profession of faith when I was 5, and a number of years later, God convicted me and spoke to my heart that that wasn't a real salvation, something that I just did. And I got saved when I was 11 and went off to Bible college. From there, went to Africa, and actually the Lord brought them back full circle, and now I'm actually pastoring in the church that I grew up in there in Traverse City, the church that my dad started, and I've been pastoring there for a couple of years now. So,
okay, so our topic is going to be second generation Christianity, or second generation Christian. So we talked about this already, so let's think about this as far as growing up in a Christian home. And so we have a lot of pastors, a lot of Christian parents that are watching, and then we have some that probably are second generation, third, fourth, or as you said, seven and a half generation. Right? So what was a couple of major things in talking with you that kind of hit home, and it seemed like it was in your teen years? So why don't you explain that?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that the warnings to young people always is, and it's actually a lot termed cliche now.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that. So cliche in Christianity, is there such a thing as cliche as a warning?
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's just repeated because it's actually important. And one of the things that's termed cliche, at least to me, when I was a young person, was that, hey, you need to make God your God, not just your parents' God.
Yeah.
And that's a common warning to young people. And I was looking back on that, and I feel like he was. As a teenager, he was my God. I loved the Lord. I cared about serving him and wanted to serve him with my life. And as I've looked back over my life as a teenager and as a young adult, I can say that he was my God. But what I can look back and see the problem was is that the Bible was never my book. It was my parents' book. And so I can never remember a time that I didn't have my devotions. Can never remember a time in a pastor's home, in a Christian home, that, hey, did you have your devotions? I can never remember a time that wasn't said. And so I always was reading it, but it was never personal to me.
Yeah.
And I remember the times, really the time in my life where that started to shift, and I began to realize, wow, this is an infinite book. This is a living, breathing book. That the Bible says that Christ is the Word of God. And it became something real to me, and that literally changed everything for me. Between that and the other thing that I would say is, not only was the Bible not my book, as opposed to my parents' book, but prayer was not my channel.
Mm-hmm.
It was my parents' channel, in the sense that a channel to be I don't want to use the word portal because that's taken wrong in today's day, but the access point,
right, I know,
between, yep, where I meet God and God,
yeah,
more importantly, meets with me. And I remember as a teenager, the very first time that I spent most of the night praying, and God actually showed up, and God filled my bedroom.
Mm.
And that changed everything for me. I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
I've always heard that talked about. I've always heard preached about. But when it happened to me, that made me keep coming back. And then, you know, okay, so through my older teenagers, that kind of went away. But then stepping out on my own, that became then a very real thing of, hey, that is a portal that I can meet God.
Yeah.
And I can get a direct answer from the creator of the universe, the King of Kings. And it just, it flips everything upside down on its head. Yeah. It just changes everything. So those two things for me being, having that being real.
All right. So, that's kind of the, I'd say some personal things on the kid's side.
Yes.
Okay. So now let's go to the other side and talk about parents. Okay. So parents that are saved and now they're wanting their young people to love the Lord and serve the Lord. And yes, I think some of what you said, they've got to have devotions. And I think on the parent side, you're praying always that God, at some point, you make it real to them. And praise the Lord, that's what he did for you.
Yeah.
So those habits, I think, are very important. You know, you don't stop the habit. Just be like, you know what? It doesn't, you know, I get it, so I'm not going to. It just doesn't seem like he's not getting it all the way, so he's not going to brush his teeth the rest of his life. You know, in the same way, these habits are very important. Well, then on the parent side, what's something that we can encourage parents to make sure is in place? You and I were talking about this. Just, I think, a mistake that some parents make in regards to their children. And it's that second generation. I think this is helpful. So why don't you?
Yeah. Anybody that knows me well, just like anybody that knows anybody that's a Christian and a Christian family knows that mom and dad make mistakes.
Yeah.
And one of the things a person can say anything they want about their parents. I mean, we were talking about that a little bit ago about people that, you know, once the parents are gone, well, now I can say anything I want. Well, you know what? You can say anything you want, but, and anybody can say anything they want about my parents. But one of the things that made the biggest difference to me growing up was that, yes, I saw things in my parents that were mistakes, that were problems. But I can remember a couple key times that my dad would pull me aside and say, hey, I made a mistake.
Yeah.
You saw it. And rather than try to shift and blame, be like, you know what? Well, that actually wasn't me. So that was his fault.
Right.
And I was a product, or I was a victim of the circumstance.
Yeah.
I can remember times as a teenager that dad pulled me aside and say, you know what? Yeah, that was me. And that was on me. And not just that, but then as the kid, and it feels weird, but dad to say, you know what? I'm sorry. Will you forgive me?
Yeah.
And that was one of those moments for me, or several of them, that just took my dad. And yeah, I know there's plenty of faults there, just like there is in me as a dad, but took the respect level and just cranked it way up.
Yeah.
Because, okay, here's dad. That I think in a lot of, or many, some Christian homes, they try to hide that.
Yeah.
And I know of some that, oh, wait a minute. As they're becoming an adult, you mean my mom and dad actually made a mistake?
Yeah, right.
They weren't perfect.
Right.
I had honestly no idea. Well, you know what? That's not healthy.
Yeah.
Because that sets it up for that young person when they grow up to just have their world rocked and shattered.
Yeah, because at some point they're going to realize man sins,
right?
Which we preach all the time.
Yep.
We preach it all the time, and we're telling people that you need to have a clean slate every day. So that includes your parents.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that they're horrible people.
Yes.
Right. As you and I were talking about that, you know, we're reading through in Scripture, starting just basically from Old Testament going straight through this year, and you know, the passages on King David just amaze me, and some of it amazes me what he did, and I'm like, wow. But then later on I'm reading and I'm saying, or seeing that it's saying about this king and this king and this king, and it's saying that, yeah, but they weren't like David. Well, right, they didn't have a heart like that. I'm like, well, yeah, but he's murdering people.
Right.
But God is very merciful. And part of it is a heart.
Yeah.
And that's what I think if our children, I think, are gonna, if we raise them with a little bit of common sense, they're going to realize that mom and dad make mistakes.
Yes.
And so we need not to necessarily hide those mistakes, but I think more see that there's a heart, though, that loves God.
Right.
Everything.
And I'd say this, you know, all right, so a dad wants the kids, especially the sons, to see him as a hero.
Yeah.
And I get it. But, and so I think the temptation is there to say, in order to be that hero, they have to see me as flawless. But actually, it makes them mm-hmm. more of a hero if they can see the flaw and see how they remedied it.
Yeah. And see them working to overcome those
right.
things. Yeah.
Right. So.
So those are just a couple of thoughts. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah. Sure.